Then I observed that the most people are motivated to succeed by their envy of their neighbor. You know, is that true? Boy, people are motivated. I mean, the guy down, you had the biggest house on the block, or you had the nicest sports car on the block, and all of a sudden one day you thought, boy, I am somebody. And you looked down the street, and somebody had just bought a bigger, more fancy, more expensive one than you got. It's just like the other day when I was out at the airport, I'm listening to these guys talk, and these home-built airplanes they built, there are several of them building one, and one of them had his flying, and the other guy's almost got his ready to fly. And he said, you know, I'm going to get mine ready. It's really slicked up because I want it to be able to outrun his. And he said, it don't matter what you do, yours ain't never going to outrun mine. Never. You know, now these guys are going to, these are grown men, you know, 40, 50 years old, and they're toys. Don't mess with their toys. You know, but that's the way men are. But it's envy that drives us to try to build something or do something that's better than somebody else. So I guess that's okay. At least it inspires people to go out and do something, because that inspires some men to work, and when they wouldn't. But he says, even like this, he said, but this too is meaningless. Mm-hmm. Even though you're driven to, because of your envy of your neighbor, to succeed or to be successful, but this too is meaningless. Mm-hmm. It's like chasing the wind, Solomon says. Mm-hmm. Foolish people refuse to work and almost starve. You know anybody like that? I do. I know lots of people that just won't work. You know, I mean, if you want to see them, you come up here. Usually you can come to church, and on the street corners out here, you can see men standing on the street corner out there begging for money. And, you know, you might be amazed at how much money some of those guys make. And they don't do nothing for it. Just stand on the corner and let you help them. That's why I never give one of them anything until God prompts me to give something. If the Lord tells me to give one of them something, I do. Otherwise, I don't. You know. So if you're led by the Spirit, God knows their heart. He knows everything about it. If He tells you to give that man $5, $10, $50. If He tells you to do something, it's just like one day I was walking down the aisle of church, and I looked over, and there was a little lady standing. I knew that her husband had left her. I knew she had four children. But she was at church, had the children. I'm just walking down the aisle. When I walked by her, I heard the Lord say, give her a $100 bill. Mm. I didn't have but $100 bill in my pocket. That's all I had. Okay. So I went in another room, got that out, took it out. And when church was over, when she started out the back door, I shook hands with her. And I said, the Lord told me to give you this. Mm. And what is it? I said, just hold it up in your hand and take it with you. All I know is God told me to give you this. Amen. See, when God tells us to do something, we do it, don't we? Mm. You know, because the Lord knew that little girl's heart. He knew what she needed. I didn't know, but, you know, a couple of weeks later, she came up to me and she said, you have no idea how that money you gave me helped me that week. I was in such need for that money that week. Well, who do you think knew what her need was? The king. And who did he know that he had blessed that had an extra $100 bill that I could live without this week? And so he said, give her that $100 bill. He knew I had a $100 bill in my pocket. He knew it wasn't going to ruin me that week. Yes?
I have a funny thing since you mentioned that. The funny thing is that another man had given me that $100 bill.
Just a minute. Let me get the mic for you.
Yeah. I had another man, a friend of mine, who gave me that $100 bill just about 5 minutes before.
Wow.
And I was surprised he gave it to me. I mean, he insisted I take the $100 bill. And I stuck it in my pocket, and as I walked out of his shop, out onto the parking lot, I ran across a minister that I happened to know was usually having problems. But at the moment, I didn't think about it. I had it in my pocket. And when I started to go get in my car, I reached in my pocket for my keys and felt the $100 bill there. And the Lord said, take that and give it to Reverend Wilson, was his name, Reverend Wilson. So I turned around and went back over to his car right quick. He was getting ready to pull off. I went over and I said, Reverend Wilson, I said, how's your finances? He says, well, as you know, they're always pretty bad right now. He says, I could sure use $100. And I said, well, you got it. And I handed him the $100 bill, and I had it about 5 minutes.
Isn't God awesome? All we got to do is learn to listen to the Lord, and He'll bless us. When He tells you to do something, just do it. That's the beautiful part about this new covenant. But He says foolish people refuse to work and almost starve. And you see those kind of people around. They feel it is better to be lazy and barely survive than to work hard. You know, that's the way they feel. Especially when in the long run, everything is so futile. I mean, so why work? You know, why work? You know, why go out and work and make a lot of money? What are you going to do with it? Hey, you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to be a blessing to others. See? But see, people fail to realize that when you work and make money, you can be a blessing to others. You know, I mean, it's amazing what God said in His Word for us to do. You know, many people have told me, many, and it's amazing the number of people where we go, when we take all these CDs and DVDs and send boxes of these things out, and they say, what is the charge for these? Well, we don't charge for them. They're free. You mean you don't charge for none of this stuff? No, never have. Well, good grief. How do you pay the bill? I said, I don't. God does. Now then, when I was giving away 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 tapes a week, it wasn't such a big bill anyway. But I will have to say, God put me to the test when He told me to give. I started giving into the ministry. And this is where you find out, are you going to believe Him or trust Him? Because He put me to the test. Now, I had quite a bit of money in investments. I was not, poor by no means. But I began to draw money out of my investments to pay for this kind of stuff and to buy stuff for the ministry. And I pulled out and spent a little over $50,000 before I ever had a dollar come back to me. Amen. Well, this is going to find out, do you believe God? Mm-hmm. My wife, Betty, at the time, when I started drawing $5,000, $10,000 at a time out, using it for the ministry, she said, you've drawn out, when I got about $30,000 or $40,000, she said, you sure have drawn a lot of our savings out. Are you sure you know what you're doing? That's understandable. That's understandable for your wife to question that. She knew I'd save that money for us in the future. But, before it even got time for retirement, at age 60, she died in a car wreck anyway. She didn't get to spend a penny of it. So who knows what tomorrow holds? Nobody does. But anyway, I continued to pull money. I told her, I said, yes, I believe this is God. He's laid this on my heart, and so I'm going to do it. And so I continued to pull money out. And after I'd invested about $50,000 in the ministry of my own money, money started coming back in. Well, today, goodness, I think last week was one of the biggest orders I've ever seen Phil do. I think he had 15,000 sleeves to put those in. I think there was 15,000 CDs and 5,000 DVDs, I think. I think that's what he bought. Something like that. He bought 15 or 20,000 CDs and DVDs last week, at one order. But we're averaging at least 10 to 12,000 every week. Every week, that goes out. And we send them out free and postpaid. That takes a lot of money to do that. But God pays the bill. So praise the King's all I can say. Amen. He takes care of it. He said, I observe yet another example of meaningless in our world. This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. This is a case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother. Yet when he works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. You ever seen a man like this? I have, sure. He ain't got nobody. He got no wife, no children, no brother, no family. But he's a diligent worker. He's got money in the bank. He's got finest cars. He's got everything. But then he asked himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? Is it all so meaningless and depressing? In other words, if this guy, say he gets to be 50 years old, say he's got $5 million in the bank, say he's got a big, beautiful home. In fact, Cheryl and I drove by a place the other day out in way north Dallas, and there was a home out there that was, how big was that big old house? 47,000 square feet. Has anybody ever, yeah, you'd like to clean that? Oh, wow. Well, all I can say, one of the Dallas Cowboys, ex-Dallas Cowboys, owns that house. And some of you may even know who it is. But we drove by that, and I said, good grief, what a house, you know. And she said, yeah, that's 47,000 square feet belongs, and she told me, one of the Dallas Cowboys. I said, ex-Dallas Cowboys. I thought, wow. Later that evening when I came back by there, they had cars parked in. Of course, it was the 4th of July. And so they had cars parked in the inn in their parking lot. I have no idea. It had to be at least a couple of hundred, maybe 200 or 300 cars out there. So who knows how many people they were entertaining that day. But let me tell you, if that man, I don't know if he has any family. He may have, you know. But what is he going to do with a 47,000 square foot house and all these cars and boats and motors, boats and airplanes and whatever else he may have? What's he going to do with that one day? What's going to happen to him one day? He's going to die. Then what's he going to do with all that stuff? Somebody's going to get it. Somebody else is going to have it. So it says here, it's so meaningless and depressing. I mean, here's this guy that's a single guy, and he's out there working from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night every day. And man, he's a going here and going there, and he's working. And he comes in, he's tired, and he said, well, I made another $10,000 today. Praise the Lord. And then he gets to thinking, what am I going to do with all this money? My bank account's humongous. What am I going to do with this? What if I die? You know, there's a story like that where a man in the Scriptures in Luke, this guy made money, and he had made crops, and he said, wow, look at this. What am I going to do with all these crops? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my old barns, and I'm going to build new barns.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.